This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, Australia's only LGBTIQ plus national news and current affairs show. Proudly sponsored by KHQ Lawyers. Passionate about being the best.
That was John Blackburn speaking to Arian Potts. To get some answers to John's questions, Arian spoke with Federal Energy Minister Angus Taylor this morning. Here's what he had to say.
How much oil is on shore presently in Australia?
Well, it depends on the type of oil, but in petrol, for instance, we have 27 days of consumption oil. That's not, by the way, how the International Energy Agency accounts for oil for the stock holding targets we have, but it's about 27 days, which is above the OECD average, above what we see in North America and in OECD Asia. So, it's in line or better than peer countries. But look, frankly, the target that really counts is the IEA 90-day target, which is a very different thing and is focused on addressing global shocks and on a modernised stock holding definition. We're sitting on about 87 days for on that measure.
How would accessing the U.S. strategic reserve work?
Well, look, the point about this, if you step right back and say, what's the history of this 90-day stock holding? Where's it come from? It began in the 1970s when major initial oil shocks occurred, and there was a realization that the world needed to have significant stock holding available if there was a global shock, as we saw in the early 70s and we saw again in the 80s. And, you know, some people may remember the days when you could only go and fill up your car if you had an even number plate or an odd number plate. It swapped between days. That's how serious the situation was back in the 70s. So the world addressed this by forming the IEA and setting these 90-day stock holding targets. The idea was the world needed to have enough stocks and the members of the IEA needed to contribute to those stocks being there. So that's the history of it. And as I say, it's about addressing these global shocks. Now, we need to do our bit. And that means we have to have stocks available if there is a major shock. So to use the latest example, we've seen, of course, in Saudi Arabia, those airstrikes that, of course, meant that we lost a significant amount of production for a short period of time, at least. If that had been worse, or if it was to get worse in the future, it may be appropriate for IEA members to release stocks to ensure there is enough fuel supply for the world. We put downward pressure on prices or prevent upward pressure on prices, and we ensure that there aren't threats to fuel security. So that's how the system works. We have to do our bit. We're constantly monitoring this. We have been on the edge. We're on 87 days on our definition, which is below what we need, the 90 days we need, which is why we're looking at the US stocks and we're looking at other measures as well.
One of the things that you're counting in the 87 days, if I'm correct, is stocks that are on water coming to Australia that have, so say, sailing from Indonesia, Singapore, whatever. If there's a crisis and Australia doesn't have any Australian-flagged oil tankers, and looking at, there's a website, marinetraffic.com, and it shows you where all the ships are. And looking at the oil tankers in Port Botany, they're registered to the Marshall Islands, Singapore, Liberia, etc. You know, in the event of an oil crisis, how can we guarantee that these ships will come to Australia when they might instead go to Singapore?
Well, look, we're confident that we can use stocks on water. And I'll give you an example of how this works now. Within Europe, stocks on rivers are included in the stock holding. So what's specific to Australia is the fact that, yes. So the European countries can use stocks on rivers, which are held typically by tankers with flags similar to the ones you described. So there aren't many countries in the world now who have their own tankers. It's become a much more globalised industry where a small number of countries hold the vast majority of the tankers, and that's we all face that situation. Yeah. But oil on water within Europe is counted. Now, you know, the IEA arguably has been very Eurocentric and perhaps North America-centric, but it's meant that an island like Australia, a long way from anywhere, has a set of rules that aren't really designed for our circumstances. Mm-hmm. And it's why we take the view that stock on water is relevant. It can be used to deal with disruptions. It's an important part of the supply chain. And You know, we're confident that oil on water can be used to deal with any disruption that might occur.
Parliament's on break right now, and I'm sure you've been around your electorate a bit. And what do you tell people when they're asking you about what can they do about oil prices and what can they do for themselves?
Well, look, the obvious thing from a consumer point of view is to make sure that they shop around. That's the single most important thing, and it's much easier to do that than it used to be. There's good apps now that allow you to find the lowest cost fuel that's available. Look, I've always argued that the best regulator of any industry is the customer. Always has been, always will be. An empowered, informed customer is always the one who is the best one to make decisions and to regulate the industry. Government has to get involved, of course, from time to time. There's no question about that. But customers being empowered is far and away the best way of doing it. Look, one of the things we're very focused on at the moment as a government is making sure that the shocks that have occurred over in Saudi Arabia in the last week or two aren't passed through or at least they're not used as a means of exploiting the prices and pushing prices up.
Yeah.
And that has been a concern. We've sent a very clear message to the oil companies. They're not to do that. We saw a short-term increase in the oil price just for an hour or two, and it very quickly dropped back close to where it was.
Yeah.
So we haven't seen a marked increase in the oil price. And so keeping pressure on the oil companies to do the right thing, I think, is an important part of this as well.
Yeah. Well, here in Melbourne, I saw a petrol station go up to 171 per litre, which was quite a big jump. I mean, people expect that prices go up a bit around school holidays, and whether that's true or not just seems to happen. But that was quite a shock.
We have this weekly cycle in oil prices that has been around for a long, long time. And, you know, that is the other thing that people can do is keep an eye on that and, you know, Buy your petrol at the right time. Now, the right time depends on where you are, which city you're in. The patterns are different depending where you are. But there is a pattern to oil prices or petrol prices at the pump that that people can make the most of if they keep an eye on it as well.
And switching slightly, well, quite a bit. So there's some new research that came out from an equal rights organization, Just Equal, yesterday. And it's talking about the religious freedom legislation, and it's showing that 80% of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex, queer people, LGBTIQ people feel worse than during the marriage equality postal survey about this legislation. And 71% of these people who are polled feel like the legislation is about taking away rights from LGBTIQ plus people. Have you heard from people in your electorate that are LGBTIQ, and what, you know, how would you address their fears or concerns?
Look, I mean, yeah, no, look, I understand. I understand the concern. And, you know, I obviously listen to constituents and others all the time on these concerns and others. Look, I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's very important to get the balance right. And I think the aim here is to get the balance right. I'll let the Attorney General deal with the details of legislation. He's working that through at the moment. And it's important that that process be allowed to run in an open and consultative manner, which is what he's obviously been seeking to do. But look, at the end of the day, we've got to get the balance right, and I think there is an opportunity to do that. I firmly believe, and have believed for many years, that respect for people with different views in the community is at the essence of what makes Australia a great country and what can resolve these issues. And I think that's the key, is just mutual respect for difference. And I think as long as we keep that as an overriding principle, we can get these things right.
And so what would you tell to a constituent that's concerned and feeling like the government's coming at them?
Well, I don't think that is right.
Right.
There's no intent to hurt people here. I mean, this is about getting the balance right. Look, there are differences of opinion in the community about all sorts of things, and that is a good thing. Diversity is strength.
Yes.
And you know, I've believed in my business career before I went into politics that diversity was strength. I'd always put teams together to work on hard problems that had differences of view, because you get a better outcome. I do that within my own team now. Let's get differences of view. Let's thrash it out. That's when we're at our best.
Yeah.
And so I would say let's embrace that. Mm. Let's accept that there are different points of view on religion and other issues, and let's be open and respectful about how we address those differences of points of view and allow people to have their say. And I think that's, for me, the overriding principle.
Yeah. Well, Angus Taylor, I think that's all I've got for you today. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
It's an absolute pleasure.
Have a good one.
Cheers.
This is The Informer, Australia's only LGBTIQ plus national news and current affairs show. Proudly sponsored by KHQ Lawyers. Passionate about being the best.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.